الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن أشد الناس عذابا يوم القيامة المصورون، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Just to recap what we have been saying, in this hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the worst punishment on the day of Qiyamah will be for those people who made pictures, who took photos, who made pictures. In another hadith it comes that three types of people will get the worst punishment. There are other hadith with other categories of people also. In this hadith, the one is who kills a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. We can well understand what a serious crime that is. Or the Nabi kills somebody. And the second is those who are leaders of wrongdoing, who lead people towards wrong, who are miftahu shar, mighlaqu khair. They close the doors of goodness and they open the doors of evil, and they lead people towards evil. Allah protect us fully from that. And the third is those people who make pictures in whichever form. Also it comes in the hadith those people who make pictures, forms of other people. Today even cloning, the cloning of any animate thing, on the day of Qiyamah they will be told, now put life into that. And of course they will not be able to, and then they will be punished severely for that. So Allah protect us from that. And the object again to remind us, these talks are that we save ourselves from taking pictures, keeping pictures, looking at pictures also. Just like making ghibat is haram, to listen to ghibat is haram. To take a picture is haram, to look at a picture is also haram. And where unfortunately today pictures are about on each and everything. Whatever we see, billboards, and what we buy, advertisements, we should avoid as much as we can, and at the end make tawbah and istighfar. Ask Allah Ta'ala to forgive us, and we should protect ourselves as much as possible. Then we explained that the ancient history, that is right at the beginning, that it is this picture making that led towards idol worship. So a thing that, no, it's from the Quran and Hadith, our Islamic teachings also, and international history, from the history of the people of the world, that this photography, picture making led towards idol worship. So that is enough to, and this is a fact which is not possible, but it has happened. And everyone acknowledges it. So on that basis, it is enough to declare picture making in any form and in any way to declare it haram. Because the thing that leads to the worst type of guna, shirk of Allah Ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Shirk Allah will not forgive. And that is not in this dunya, on the day of Qiyamah. In this dunya, if a person makes tawbah of shirk, he will be also forgiven. And on the day of Qiyamah, shirk will not be forgiven. And besides that, for any and all other gunas, Allah Ta'ala will forgive. Kufr wat Allah, shirk wat Allah, that will not be forgiven. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, this is one of the ayat that gives great hope to all the sinners, that Allah Ta'ala says, I will forgive besides shirk to for whomsoever I want to. So Allah save us from the shirk. Also, we had explained that name change and the method change of making photos makes no difference whatsoever. Pretoria is Pretoria, whether we call it Pretoria or we call it Swani, it's still Pretoria. And the method of getting to Pretoria, whether we go by train, bus, car, we go by helicopter, the method makes no difference, you're still going to the same place. And alhamdulillah, we see that as we will explain, it will come today, that 100 years ago, our great Buzurg explained exactly the same thing. That name change makes no difference, method change makes no difference whatsoever. So We should totally, fully understand that I must not be deceived by name change or by method change. And the other is, what we also explained, it's a principle of our fiqh, that sababul haram, haram. What leads towards a haram is also haram. So photography which leads to idol worship, and which leads to shamelessness, and which leads to all indecency and crime, so that is the cause of that. So even if photography is not permissible, even if it was permissible, but it leads to these haram things, on that basis also it should have to be declared as haram. According to the principles of fiqh, it has to be declared haram. And then the worst is that this photography which is haram, and it leads to such great haram, like idol worship, and then towards the TV and all that, and all the harms and all the filth and dirt, indecency, crime on the TV, porn, etc. All these things, the cause of it with haram, and it leads to so great haram. There's no ambiguity to understand for an ordinary layman, not even a Muslim, but even a non-Muslim, that something that leads to so much of harm is clearly haram also. And then the harms of photography, the great, great harms of it, which Muslims and non-Muslims are unanimous, that the harms it causes, the crime that it makes people make, the idol worship, the indecency, all types of evil, this photography which leads to TV and all the YouTube and all the various types of evil which is on the YouTube, all this is from photography. So all these things also make it clear that there is no question of photography, and that it is so harmful it makes a slave out of a person, and a person doesn't think for himself again. And then this media which controls our mind so much so that not just the non-Muslims who are deaf, dumb and blind, they've got summun bukmun umyun fahum la yubsirun. Summun bukmun umyun fahum la yaqilun. They are deaf, they are blind. We've got nothing to do with them. They are the fuel of Jahannam. But the Muslims and the leaders of the Muslims and the scholars of the Muslims, when we submit and fall prey to this, this is what is our deep cry, and which pains the heart very, very greatly, that we are the people also, that we fall prey to this, and it is so clear that all these things are so harmful. The TV, for one's eyes it is so harmful, for one's health it is so harmful, the radiation from it is so harmful, almost everything. As one time we were in Cape Town for an ijtima, and we were still staying at a certain house, when we were going for Fajr that morning from the top floor, we came down to the bottom floor to go out of the house. We saw that the lounge was there, the TV was on, but blank, all the program, everything. And the people who were there watching, like it was a war scene. Somebody is lying on the floor, somebody on the couch, just like they were watching TV and they fell asleep like that. And all that, with that filth and dirt, a person falls asleep. No kalima on the tongue, nothing, just all in that terrible way. The amount of harm that it causes is quite clear. And then we explained of our recent history, but a little distance away, that is about 100 years ago, when Allama Tantawi and also another great alim also of Egypt, when they had given permission. And then all the ulama of the Arab ulama of the various countries, they also had given clear decisions, proofs, fatwas, that it is not permissible. Our ulama, especially with names that come of Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Ali, Shaykh al-Islam Hazrat Maulana Shabbir Ahmed Usmani Rahmatullah Ali, and but more lower down from them, Mufti Shafi Saab etc., they all also declared it completely haram, and that it is a big mistake, they said, that they have made, that they regard photo as something else and tasweer as something else. They said that tasweer is haram unanimously, but photo, that is a different thing, and there is difference of opinion. And it is amazing that how history repeats itself, as we will read just now, that at this time, the same thing the ulama are saying also. They are saying that tasweer, ummah is unanimous, we all agree it is haram. But the photo is something else, and there is difference of opinion. This was the exact thing that was said 100 years ago, when the first time all this talk about photography started coming, when before was pictures were drawn by hand, and then the camera was made, and photos were taken with the camera. And they said the photo of the camera, that is not a tasweer, that is a photo. And they made that difference, but that was just shaitan who had beguiled them and made them think, and this was not acceptable in any way whatsoever. And then we also explained that in India, though photography had become common, and in the Arab world it had become viral, everywhere photography. But in India also, where also photography, wherever you can think there were photos. Like today it's even worse, where and where are there photos? On everything there are photos. At that time the only alim who gave permission was Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali. And also Maulana Abul Kalam Azad, but both of them retracted again, and they said we have made big mistakes by permitting it. And both of them, Maulana Allama Sulaiman Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali, printed in his booklet where his articles used to appear from other wrong things also, that he had given wrong decisions. And this was his great, great achievement and his great humility. And that was after he made Isra by Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, that in public he retracted from all those things. And particularly about photography, he retracted. Now what our elders, and such a great alim like was known, Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi, and he retracted also. So how can we fall again in the same mistake? The mistake that was made, it was corrected, and again we fall into that mistake. So Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala give us the proper understanding of these matters. And the object again is that we don't take photos, or the difference and the argument that the ulama will discuss, but for us, that we realize that to take photos is totally haram, the sin is very, very severe, and to keep photos and to look at photos, all this is totally haram. It was at that time, about 100 years ago, when Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Saab Rahmatullah Ali was very young, perhaps around 18, 20 years old. And Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi was so much older, so much more superior, he was so much more famous, he had such a great following. And Mufti Shafi Saab was still a young man, unknown to anyone. But he wrote the reply, and when Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali wrote to him, he was firm on his point and convincing arguments he had presented. And afterwards, and this is also the great quality of Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi, which is very, very lacking even in ulama, that a man of that stature, that knowledge, that following he had. But he asked for Mufti Shafi Saab's kitab, and then he retracted from his view. And he said, what I have said was wrong, and I'm retracting from my view. And the same was, Maulana Abul Kalam Azad was in a jail as a political prisoner, and people asked his followers, his ardent, keen followers, they asked for a photo of his. They wanted to prepare his biography, and they wanted to put a photo of his. He replied and said that I made a big mistake, that in my booklet that I should publish, I used to put quotas, but it was totally wrong and haram. And he said, now I've made Tawbah, and to take quotas, to keep quotas, to publish quotas is totally haram. And he said that please, cover the faults of a person, don't expose the faults. My faults that I made, now don't go and expose them again to the people by putting my photo. And then also we explain that Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullah alayh, on one occasion when they were at the Pakistani Islamic Council conference, and then he was asked to appear on TV. And he bluntly refused, and he explained this great principle, and this all is narrated by Mufti Taqi Usmani. He was with on that journey in that conference also, and he says that Maulana refused, and one principle that he explained, that photography, deen cannot spread with, by haram sources. Deen can only be spread in the right way and not in the haram way. And then also Mufti Taqi Usmani then said that these last advices of Hazrat Allama bin Nuri rahmatullah alayhi should be inscribed on the heart of every person involved in propagation and spreading deen. Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullah alayhi said, if we use the wrong means and people do accept Islam, but we are unsuccessful by Allah because we use the haram means. And if we use the right means and nobody accepts Islam, then also we are successful by Allah Ta'ala because we did the right things. And this is clearly borne out by the ayat, Al-Amiruna bil-Ma'ruf wa-Nahuna anil-Munkar. Those people who do Amar bil-Ma'ruf, Nahya anil-Munkar. And immediately after that Allah said, Wal-Hafidhuna li-Hududillah. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say that he is an indication that when in your passion for propagating deen, easily you will go beyond the limits. So Allah said, stay within the limits. Don't go out of the limits. Don't use any haram means. Allama Yusuf bin Nuri Rahmatullah Ali, he also said that today if we use photography, TV, films, etc., tomorrow they will have dance parties, singing girls, and that also in the name of inviting towards deen. We might think this is an impossibility, but it's a reality taking place already. People who propagate Islam through the radio, and when they have their awards night, and on that night there is liquor served, they are all females, males, all mixed, there is wine, there is music, everything is taking place there. So all is part and parcel of that propagating of deen. And deen can never spread what haram means. Deen will only spread what halal means. Today this is a booklet of Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Inshallah it's being translated in the process of being printed and published for photography and picture making. This Hazrat Mufti Sahib wrote in the year 1920. That's about 100 years ago. This book was prepared when all this debate was taking place in India particularly. So Hadrat writes towards the end of the book the summary. The summary is that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, Tabi'een, and the jurists, the Imams, have reached the following conclusion from the Ahadith that give with regard to photography. It is not permissible to make or take pictures of animate objects in any condition whatsoever. So that is the conclusion after the whole big discussion of the subject. Mufti Sahib says that to take photos, to keep photos, to look at photos, to spread them today on the phone, how easily and how much of we are guilty of this. And this is the thing, when any guna, as Mufti Sahib writes here, today is the time wherein there is an abundance of negligence regarding the akhirat, and there is a plentitude of sin. Today, about matters of deen, people are generally good people who are like in deen, but we don't think about akhirat, the qabr. And guna is has become so common that there are so many gunas that we don't even regard as haram. Like pictures, photos, we don't even think of it. We'll go shopping, we'll buy our things, there are so many pictures, we won't think that we are involved in haram. We will read a magazine or something, or on the phone we will go through, and we'll be looking at so many pictures. The thought of making tawbah, istighfar, doesn't come to our mind. When we go to a supermarket or anywhere, and we mix with so many women, music is playing there, how the women are dressed, but we don't think of making tawbah, of making that istighfar. Guna has become so common that we don't even regard it anymore. The guna of the eyes. How many of us, sincerely, that we make tawbah? Every day our eyes fall on ghair mahari, but we don't make tawbah from it. So this has become common. However, this technological age, that is 100 years ago, just see how it applies exactly to our time, has brought about a new calamity. In times of before, things that would be made by hand, they are now being made clearer and better by means of machines. With the photo, the camera makes a much more accurate picture. And the digital picture makes even a more accurate picture. So that you are copying the creative power of Allah, it is more haram with the digital phone, because that makes a more accurate copy than a sketch what you draw with your hand. With your hand you can't be so perfect, but with the digital phone, the camera, it was much more. And the digital phone, digital picture is even much more accurate. So that makes it even more haram. Things are made much quicker now in comparison to before. Before you needed a camera, you had to possess a camera. Now almost everyone got a phone. And anyone, whenever he wants to, he can take a photo. But with the camera, you had to buy a film. And then you had to load the film. And you had to load it correctly also. And then you had to take your photos. And then you had to go and have it washed again. Usually you go to the chemist and you'd get it back after a week or so. And then just one copy. If you wanted more, you'd have to pay more. If you wanted color copies, you had to pay more. All that was now just instantly. Immediately the picture is there and you can circulate it in the world. In a few seconds it can go through in the world. In this day of machines, generally, this is another important point, the names of items are kept different from those of before. In other words, just the name change. That was we called a picture, and now it is called a photo. And it makes no difference what you call it, it is still the same thing. Whatever the Sharia has declared haram under a specific name, and now that particular name does not exist, we find that some people have used this issue as a means to permit it. Just by changing the name, a new name. So now it is permissible in Sharia. This is the very same calamity that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned about. Under the topic of being a sign of Qiyamah. In the kitabs, signs of Qiyamah, this hadith comes. In there, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there will be some people of my ummah that will change the name of Lika and consume it. There will be singing woman in front of them. Allah Ta'ala will cause them to sink into the earth, and He will change the features of some of them into that of monkeys and pigs. This is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has told us, and it will happen. Today the people have extended this from Lika to other forms of sins, where the forms and features are new and the names have changed, and they freed themselves from the worry of sin or reward. Just by changing the name, they feel that we are not sinning anymore. Or the method of making it, now they feel we are not sinning. Interest and usury has taken on a totally new form in the world. This is 100 years ago, and see exactly now, all those ulama and muftis who give fatwas of interest being halal, it's just in a different form. Now it is called Islamic banking, Islamic finance. By Shaheen is here. I wanted to phone him and ask him, but we'll see if we have the time or some other time, that he'll explain that at the workplace, how in the company, how they explained about about the banking system, that we will just change interest into the name of it into profits and dividends. And an article has appeared that a person of this banking, the very high banking people of the world, they said that for Muslim people to make it permissible for them, we just change the names. And when we change the names, we phone a mufti to get a fatwa of permission. If the mufti doesn't give it, we go to another mufti. Until we get a mufti that will give the fatwa. And we offer him a very good price for it. 6 figures, he says. We give them and then we get that fatwa from them. And this is how they're making fools and a mockery out of us. We are thinking we are very learned and giving and we have got great research into the matter. But they say clearly, we only change the name and they are doing everything. One person of our country, of one famous alim, his son, also went to the, started working in the Islamic bank. And then they asked what work. They say, you just have to sign here, that's all. What other work must I do? No other work, nothing. You just have to sign. So they will prepare everything, just your signature is there. Allah Ta'ala have mercy upon us and let us understand where they are trying to take us. Interest and usury has taken on a totally new form in the world. This is 100 years ago. The consumption of interest has been called banking. Just fit it on the present time now. Thousands of forms of gambling have been invented. All admit gambling is haram. But just change the form of it and the name of it. Now everyone thinks it's permissible. There are modern forms of playing the lottery. In common terms, they are not referred to as gambling. Now they have got other names. Sports has become gambling now. How many things is all gambling? To the extent that even according to government law, although gambling has been forbidden, this is Pakistani government law, and many countries, yeah, in our country, I think now it's permissible. But before, with the old government, gambling was forbidden. But there were all other forms of it, just with the name change. But these new forms are given the purport that is beyond the given definition of gambling. And people have begun to indulge in it. Now just a different name, a different form, and now people are indulging in it. People bet huge sums of money on race horses, horse racing. There is forward trading, which is a very huge market, and magazines also publish puzzles for gambling purposes. It has become, in different forms, it has become so common. The reality behind all of this is gambling. People have fallen into the error because of the name change, and they have also gone into gambling under the guise of many ruses, many sly tricks which the people use. Many people are involved in gambling also. The people understand that they are not involved openly in interest and gambling because the name is not there. So they just the name change and they feel they are not in that. No matter what it is, at least the name is not gambling and interest. They make themselves happy with that. Therefore, they feel that their sin is light. However, the reality is totally different. Where the ruling of the Sharia is being broken under a ruse, under some tricks, making the sin double. That sin becomes even worse. One is the original sinful action, and the second is where effort is being made to permit the sin. That is much, much more worse. To commit a sin, understand it's a sin, make tawbah, that is not so serious as regarding a sin as halal. What to regard a haram as halal, halal as haram, that is very, very serious. The second sin is worse than the first. This is the case with the matter under discussion. That is photography. This is a machine, that is the camera, created, made for taking pictures. The original thing is captured on glass or film, and after treatment, it is taken out. That is, the photo is made after the photo is taken in the camera. In this way, the picture resembles the original. One is safe from the trouble of using pens and brushes. The reality is that photography is an advanced form of drawing pictures. It has made the sin of drawing pictures easy and cheap. This has now become a severe disease. And we can imagine now with the cell phone, this was all 100 years ago. It seems as though Mufti Saab is writing it for the very present time. And now with the cell phone, how easy it is for any and everyone, and everyone practically is involved in it. There are some people who have adopted the philosophy where they say that when an illness spreads far and wide and becomes common, that then we should stop saying that it is an illness. When an epidemic becomes far, wide and very common, then they say don't call it an illness anymore. There is no need to treat it. Don't treat it also. Nor is there any need to save oneself from it. What a philosophy. They have made up the excuse and reused the trick that a picture captured in a photo is not tasweer. It is a shadow or a reflection, like a mirror that shows the face and body of a person clearly. Yeah, Mufti Saab goes to explain as the fuqaha. But a simple understanding of this is that when you see your reflection in the mirror, they say when that is not haram, then why is a photo haram? But the easy explanation and convincing explanation that looking at self one in a mirror, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam taught us a dua to be read. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would never teach us a dua for haram. And the same Nabi of ours, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, declared the severity of picture making. So that very fact makes it the two things completely different. Fuqaha go into detail about this, that's a reflection. You see your reflection in a water, why it's not a picture, when it becomes a picture, etc. Just as a person sees his own reflection in a mirror and water, and a person will not be sinful for pictures or making pictures by doing this. That is, you see your reflection in the mirror or water. In the same way, the pictures acquired from a photo are shadow and reflection. This is their argument. There is no problem in acquiring and using them. But Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam taught us the dua and made it ibadat. You see your reflection in a mirror. And on the other hand, a photo, the worst curses and the worst punishment Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam mentioned. However, there is no need to really think deeply over this point, because there is a major difference between a reflection in water or a mirror and a picture acquired through photography. This is qiyas ma'al-fariq completely. There is no ground for this qiyas and for the analogy. Making an analogy of one with the other is simply a ploy and a sly excuse. The reality is that a shadow or reflection is not set and established, but it follows the person. As long as the person stands opposite the mirror, his reflection will be there. When he moves away, the reflection will also disappear. The reflection or image of a person on the mirror of the camera will be said to be a reflection as long as the film is not treated with chemicals and the picture itself is not made. Once it's a picture, then it is a photo. When the picture has been developed, then it becomes a tasweer. If the picture is made and developed by means of paint and color or by a machine, the ruling does not change. Whether it was hand-drawn or the machine, the camera made it, the rule will not change. The example of this is that of a person who stands in front of a mirror and then color is used to form the features of the person. As long as this image with the colors is not made, it will remain a reflection. There was no prohibition in this. When the reflection was made with color and paint, it now becomes a tasweer. Therefore, after the color and paint is applied, it does not remain as tabi of the reflection. The person goes away, but the picture remains. So the minute it's made a picture, then it is completely haram. Some scholars have explained the reason that the photographer does not create the lamhs. In the hadith, the reason for prohibition of tasweer has been explained that in picture making, the person imitates the special quality of Allah, the creative quality of Allah Ta'ala. In this way, he makes a claim of being a partner to Allah in creation. And this Allah dislikes totally that you want to become my partner in creation. You want to try and compete with me in creating, making a picture, making an idol, a statue, etc. For this reason, he will be instructed to give life to what he made. When he will be unable to do so, he will be punished. However, if we think over this, then no picture maker does the action of creating. He only makes the outer form of the limbs. He does not put veins into it. He does not make any bones or flesh. Whereas the Sharia has referred to this as taswir, just that outward form. The Sharia has prohibited this. So what is the difference between making a color pitch photo and a pen drawn image? The hadith does not refer to this as creation, but imitating the creation of Allah. It is quite clear that there is no difference between the pen drawn image and the image made by a machine, that is the camera. Some people make statues of iron and copper by hand. In the same way, there are statues made by machines. The methods are different in creating the forms, but the machines will make much more statues in quicker time. Will this be permissible? All this is not permissible. Besides this, it will not be correct to say that in the case where the picture maker does not form the limbs and features, then the picture will be permissible. The reason for this is that in the hadith, there are various reasons given for the prohibition of pictures. Whichever reason there is, that picture is haram. The summary is that to understand photography as something different from picture making, and the images acquired through photography are not tasweer, is something totally wrong and is simply a ploy of the nafs. There are many religious people and ulama that are involved in this. No matter how great a person an alim can be, he also can make mistakes, and these mistakes have been made. And there are those ulama who have rectified this. They have caught what the ploy of shaitan is, and they corrected it. At this point, remember the letter of Maulana Abul Kalam Azad that he wrote from Ranchi jail. He refused that his picture be taken. He said that to take pictures, to keep them, and are all haram. From this it is clear that he was regarded as an enlightened thinker. He was very much in politics, etc., and an enlightened thinker. But he also regarded it as totally haram, and he forbid that his picture be taken. Pictures have spread in the Arab world to epidemic proportions, now in the whole world. However, even the true ulama there have written booklets on its prohibition. A scholar of Riyadh, Najd, Sheikh Abdul Rahman Ibn Faryan, has written a booklet that I have seen. He explained the prohibition of photography and has made a heartfelt appeal that although this illness has become common, the Muslims should not lose hope. They should have saved themselves and have concern about saving others. That is of taking pictures, keeping pictures, looking at pictures, everything. If a sin becomes common, it does not make it halal. But worse punishment can come from Allah Ta'ala. May Allah bless us all with a proper understanding of deen and the tawfiq to remain upon the straight path. From Allah Ta'ala we seek help, and upon Him do we reply. Just quickly read this one other article of Allama Shah Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Ali. Maulana Sayyid Ahmad Riza Bijnuri Rahmatullah Ali was the son-in-law also, I think. He was the son-in-law of Allama Shah Anwar Shah Kashmiri, and also a very great alim himself also. And he was very close, being the son-in-law, very close. Right regarding Hazrat Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Ali, in my opinion, Hazrat's most outstanding feature, he was called a walking library. His knowledge was so, what vast knowledge, what a memory, what intelligence Allah had given him, what taqwa and piety Allah had given him, which has already been stated in passing, was his exceptional firmness on the path of the Salaf, our Akabir and our Islam. He was very firm in spite of all his knowledge, but he remained very firm on the path of our Akabir and Islam. Despite his vast knowledge, extensive research, and in-depth study, in my opinion, there was no kitab in the libraries of India and the Haramain Sharifain, whether still in manuscripts or published that had not been studied by Shah Sahib Rahmatullahi. Yet he would never be prepared to digress from the maslak of the aslaf in even the smallest of masail. He would remain firm, though his knowledge was so vast. Hazrat Shah Sahib Rahmatullahi would give the highest degree of consideration to the path of the aslaf and his akabir. In this present age, these akabir of Deoband are the few selected ulama who are free from any type of extremism and adopt the moderate Hanafi maslak and the approach that has been passed down from the aslaf, which in the light of the Quran and Hadith shines out as a perfect model. If he found scope for any ease in a statement of the aslaf, he would accept it. However, he would never employ his own reasoning and make ijtihad. I personally feel that this was Hazrat's greatest achievement, for there were many in the past and present who, on account of being endowed with vast knowledge and extensive research, resorted to their own ijtihad. This is a very terrible disease, that just we get little bit of knowledge and we become free thinkers ourselves. And unfortunately, this is common also in great, great ulama, as he writes here also. Subsequently, they began interpreting the Quran and Hadith based on their personal opinions, resulting in them disregarding the explanations of the former ulama. This then led to greater dangers and problems in generations to follow. It is perhaps on account of such an outlook that the poet said that فَإِن كُنْتَ لَا تَدْرِي فَتِلْكَ مُصِيبَةٌ وَإِن كُنْتَ تَدْرِي فَالْمُصِيبَةُ أَعْظَمُ. If you are ignorant, then that is a big problem. But if you know, that is even a greater problem. That is, you think you are know-all. And now you just don't consider anyone and the aslaf. You just make them nasiya mansiya, as though they don't exist also. Hence, this would be the greatest quality of Shah Sahib Rahmatullahi, where he would not tolerate the slightest deviation from the path of the aslaf. You would be aware that almost all the ulama of Egypt permit photography. Allama Tantawi had presented all the proofs for its permissibility in his tafsir. When I studied these proofs presented in his mesmerizing and captivating approach, a great alim, and he had the art of presenting his arguments also, I was convinced that after studying it, Hazrat Shah Sahib would indicate towards its permissibility. Even if the slightest bit of permissibility could be drawn out from it. However, what was Shah Sahib's answer? Hazrat's only answer was, Apne Hazrat ki rai nahi hai. This is not the opinion of our elders, that it is permissible, so we will not accept it, we will regard it also as haram. The value of this statement can never be explained. It has been 28 to 29 years, this is about perhaps 70, 80 years ago, he writes. Since this discussion had taken place, yet when I recall the statement, I ask myself, what did Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali say? He was just taken aback that how he trusted on the words of the aslaf and akabir. Many ulama in India were influenced by the article of Allama Tantawi and had views of permissibility in mind. But that is as it may, but Hazrat's comprehensive and complete answer is most sufficient and all-encompassing. It is totally impossible to express due to appreciate, to impress, it is totally impossible to express due appreciation to this statement that we will remain on the tariqah of our aslaf. And as many of our ulama say, and that should be our, hum andhe muqallid hai. We are blind followers of our aslaf and our akabir. We don't use our own thinking, but today we put our own thinking in front and we put away the thinking of our aslaf and akabir. It is totally impossible to address. For he did not only answer my question, but he served as a guide for others as well, that whenever any such perplexity arises in a masala, then simply ask yourself, what was the opinion of our elders? But today we say, times have changed, conditions have changed, and Islam is not going to change. We change, but Islam is the same. Allah is one. Allah is the same. The same akhirat we are going to, not anywhere else. So Allah give us tawfiq to understand and realize the severity of this. And the main thing again to reiterate that we don't take pictures, we don't keep pictures, we don't look at pictures, we don't spread pictures anywhere. Any animate object, we don't. Allah protect us all, save us all. سبحان الله بحمده سبحان الله.